And I'm going to call the meeting to order. So this is the Orange County Water District's Monthly Administration and Finance Issue Committee. Today is Thursday, July 10th, 12 noon. So good afternoon. Can we please have roll call?
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Present.
Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Nguyen. Director Jung.
Present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Meeks. Director Sheldon. Director Bilodeau. We do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you, Leticia. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, any visitor participation on items under this board's jurisdiction? Okay, seeing none. So let's move on to our agenda. And first up, we have the consent calendar, which consists of items number 1 through 12, buying trucks, some membership renewal, leadership training. Anyone wish to pull any items for discussion?
No, I'll
Move
move
the
it.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay, so we have motion by Director Meswa and seconded by Director Green. Roll call vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Meswa.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, thank you. Next up, item 13, purchase Imperial Headgate bypass flow meters. Mr. General Manager.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Ben Smith will present this. And since we have a relatively light agenda, and because this involves our inflatable dam at Imperial, which is a very important facility for us, I ask Ben to just give a little more detailed presentation on the inflatable dam.
Okay, wonderful. Good afternoon, Ben.
Afternoon. I'm trying to clean up our screen here. Let's see. Are you able to see the presentation online?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for having me. Good afternoon. So, John gave me time to speak, so I'm going to take it and share a little bit of details about one aspect of the four-bay recharge. So you've seen this before. It's the recharge system, the surface recharge, not the injection wells. The surface recharge systems in Anaheim and Orange. All these yellow and blue facilities are where we're doing that. 1,600 acres of land the district owns in this space. 1,100 of that gets wet, water gets into. It's 30 different facilities, 25,000 acre feet of storage. There's three water sources for the surface water system. So there's the river. And sometimes we describe it as four. We break the river into base flow, it comes down year round, and storm flow. The GRS, right, the treatment plant here, and then sometimes we buy import water. So this flow meter arrangement, it's part of the Santa Ana River system. So looking a little closer at the Santa Ana River, so I have it here in the darker blue color. There's 8 miles of the river that we actively manage. The district owns 6 miles, but we have an arrangement with the county that we can go that extra 2 miles and get, better recharge there. So 8 miles of the river, 300 feet wide. You do the calculation, that's 290 acres just of the river bed itself. So when water comes in the river, water rights term, we divert the water out of the river. And there's three main ways we do that. So the first spot is at the very top end. It's the Imperial Dam or the Imperial Headgates, we call it. I'll talk more about that later. There's another dam, inflatable dam, the Five Coves Dam, halfway down. And then the river floor itself is considered a diversion. We are taking water out of the river into the groundwater. So that's part of water rights discussion of it. So this is the standard slide we give when we give a tour. This is recharging the groundwater basin, kind of the long-term strategy for how we get water into the ground. These are the sources. I'm not going to dive into all the information on here. What I wanted to highlight here in purple, 76% of what we get into the ground happens through the surface recharge system. So about 10% happens through the injection wells, and about 14% is incidental nature, doing that on its own. And then layering another thing on top here, this red slice. So out of everything we get in the ground, about 40% actually passes through the imperial head gate. So it's a very critical position for us. If you add that up, that's $132 million a year worth of water on average passing through that spot. And it's our, quote, free water, right? It's the river water we don't pay to import. We don't pay for a treatment plant to produce it. So here it is, the Imperial Dam. So this is a drone kind of sitting over the 91 freeway looking northward at the river. So the river here is flowing from the right to the left. The rubber dam is that white balloon in the middle that this purple label just came up on. If you look in the background, there's kind of some buildings and some racks there. That's where we move the water through. So the one on the right is how we divert water to the start of the recharge system. So that if you follow that blue arrow, it would go into what we call the weir ponds or desilting ponds. So that's the first place we take it away from the river. The second set of trash racks there is the we call the bypass. What is it bypassing? It's bypassing the dam. So it's taking water around the dam and putting it back in the river. Well, that seems silly. Why do that? Two main things. One, we can measure and control the flow. So we can control how much goes that way, and we're able to measure it. I'll talk about why it's important to measure in a minute. The second reason, we can remove large trash. So those rakes catch the big trees, the couch cushions, the shopping cart, whatever comes down the river. So this flow meter I'm talking about, it's on this brown line where I'm eventually going to get to that flow meter we need to replace. So this video is the Imperial Rubber Dam deflating or partially deflating. We call this a notch in the dam. So we let a little bit of air out of the dam and the water finds the low point and goes across. Then the video will switch to inflating, to putting air into the dam, increasing the pressure, and you'll see the water stop flowing across it. Just for trivia, when we're flowing full, like storm condition, and we need to put the dam down, it can get down in 15 minutes or less is how long it would take. To put it back up is more on the order of a half hour to push the pressure back in there to inflate that big rubber balloon.
And why are you doing this?
The notching.
Uh-huh.
So this is a strategy. I'm going to get maybe too complicated, but the rubber dam builds a depth in the river, 7 feet. And so that's how we drive the water a different direction, right? We don't pump it. We use that gravity of that 8 feet. So in a storm, it's peaky. So we get a lot of flow real quick. So we have an option. We can completely deflate the dam. We lose everything that dam's holding, and then take that half hour to get it back up after. Or what we often like to do is this notch, where we just let enough water through that we can maintain our depth and get our maximum diversion out while letting that peak flow get past us.
So this is only during the storm that you would see this?
Right. Well, obviously it's sunny in the video. It's to make the video as well.
Okay, that's what I wonder.
Yeah.
Ben, I have a question. How often do we deflate to get rid of the sediments in the back?
Essentially once a year. So once, we just did it last week, deflated this dam completely. Because it is our first control point, it's the last thing we want to put down. It's once we're totally out of water everywhere, And that base flow, the summer flow from the Inland Empire is very low. If it's like right now, base flow is like 75 CFS. If it's over 100, we want to keep the dam up because then we're in control of it. So when we let it down, some of the sediments can wash through, but we lose that control, if that makes sense. It's that rapid response to a change in the flow.
But you deflate.
I imagine you probably would deflate it during, if there is a storm in forecasted, right?
Sorry, I missed that point. It's not when it's forecast, when it actually comes and the flow in the river gets over about 1400 CFS, we have to put it down. That's our agreement with the county. So that we don't back up the river.
It seems somewhat fragile. Does it break often? Or like, is it, you know, when you blow up an air mattress to go camping, like it always fucking cool stuff.
A little bigger than that.
This seems like it.
So the dam is, the balloon, if you will, is 1 inch thick rubber with reinforcement in it. It's like a car tire. And that's actually who makes them is the car manufacturer, the tire manufacturers. And it's got a UV coating. It's not brittle. We do need to inspect them. And in my list here, I won't go over everything, but, you know, they have a lifespan. They need to be replaced at about 20 years.
Wow, 20 years.
We have been very,
knock
on wood, we've been very lucky. We haven't had vandals. In LA, they have dams that people just put a knife into, and then you have to deal with patching it.
Jeez.
So we've been very lucky. We don't have that issue. Don't tell anyone.
Yes.
Ben, does the area above the dam act as an infiltration basin as well?
It could, but...
so you get natural infiltration.
That's the first spot. So all the sediment that comes and it hits the dam, it drops immediately. So it's essentially plugged underneath there. And you could, if you went out there right now, you would see the clay is very thick in the floor of the river. So we have four of these dams. This one's Imperial. That was one of Five Hose. There's a smaller one at the outlet of Warner Basin and another small one at La Jolla. So these dams have worked well for us. So this is another view of that Imperial site. I just want to talk about how we measure flow there. So this blue arrow that's going off to our recharge system, the way we measure flow is actually past the tip of the blue arrow there. There's a concrete structure. It's called a partial flume. It's a very specific geometry, and it's concrete. It doesn't move. And it's been highly, highly researched. And it's cool because you don't need electricity. You don't need anything moving parts to measure flow rate. You just need the depth. So we put electricity to it so that we can see it in SCADA in the control system. But you could go out there and read the ruler, the staff gauge on the side, and know how much flow is going through there. It works well there. It's partially full channel, meaning not pressurized pipe. So through that direction, we have a limit of 500 CFS. That's mostly due to downstream constraints. For the bypass flow meters, they kind of take a torturous U-turn there. Those are concrete boxes, culverts. So you can't do a partial flume through that because the water is turning very quickly. It's very turbulent. And it's potentially full under pressure. If the water's high enough, it can completely fill up that box. So we have to use a more sophisticated or a more technologically advanced flow meter there.
And why do you do that?
Why do we measure?
Why can't you measure in the first with the flume? Why don't you just put it all in the same area and then you could measure it all?
Sure.
Easily.
So we go back to the river, so the river itself can do percolation. So the river does, on average, 100 CFS of percolation to the floor of the river. Also, we can, if we're getting a lot of flow in a storm, like more than 500 CFS, or say more than 600 CFS, because 500 can go the blue arrow, 100 to the floor of the river. If there's more rainfall, right, more storm flow, we'll divert at the next dam at the Five Coast. So we need to send it there as well. So why do we measure flows? This is, yeah, kind of a fun picture. This is Jeff Boudreaux. He's our recharge operations supervisor. He's actually measuring flow at Prado here, the river coming into Prado. He's using a device called a flow tracker, and it's the same technology as the flow meter I want to buy here. It's measuring depth and velocity, and he goes along that string line, that straight line, and gets a profile of how the water's moving across the channel. So why do we measure flows? Water rights, right? One of the reasons the district exists is the water right to the Santa Ana River. And so we have to have data about that water right in order to guarantee it. So we have to collect data. In 2015, California Senate Bill 88 was passed. It requires detailed telemetry, data and reporting. So that's online. It's already active, and it's currently amendments being considered. But the amendments being considered don't relieve us of the need to get the data. We also need to operate the system, right? We need to know what's coming into the system in order to know where to put it and when. Also automating these things, right? You hook them up to the computer, the SCADA, and all of a sudden you have one person who can do the job, whereas if you didn't have the computer tracking everything, you'd need like five people, right? So it's a savings in staff and overtime pay, because they can sit at home and look on the computer. They don't have to drive out, you know, across those 8 miles to look at things. And we collect performance data, right? We do very well with our recharge system. If you look at how much we get in the ground per area, it's very, very well compared to like what LA does. How do we do that? We optimize. We track a lot of data. We know when to clean. We know how to move the water to maximize the storm capture. So in specifically this location, I think this is my last slide. John's getting antsy. It's a harsh environment for a device, an electronic device. It's submerged in water. There's a lot of sediment, so that can clog things. It can act like a sandpaper. It can interrupt signals, or you know, the signal's expecting water, but it's hitting pieces of sand that changes the signal. It's turbulent, you know, very rapid changes in the way the water's moving. And it needs to operate in a full condition and a partially full condition. So previous challenges, we've had flow meters here forever. The current style we've had, it's my last bullet point there, had to replace it twice in the last 10 years. What's happening? The device is in the water. It's getting water inside the wires, basically, the connection point. The current device requires a full channel, so that's another complication. We have to keep the dam up so that the channel is full. So it limits our flexibility in our operation. And there's intermittent signals because of these problems. So what's the fix? We want to go with the solution that we have at, I think it's six other locations we've been using for 10 years. And so it's proven reliable. It's the same technology we have at the other spots for ease of troubleshooting, ease of spare parts. It's a non-proprietary setup. That means we're not stuck with one vendor who we have to fly out, you know, subject to their schedule to fix something. We have a lot more options for that. And it's been very accurate. And I don't know how many people want to nerd out, but I made a schematic of it's four transducers. Those yellow lines are ultrasonic sound signals. They go across the water. And then on the top, that trapezoid with the smiley faces underneath is a radar that looks at the level. But again, it's the basic principle. It's looking at depth and velocity. to come up with flow rate. Oh, sorry, John, one more. So the costs, in the budget book, we budgeted $200,000. The recommendation today is to increase that to $210,000. So the flow meters themselves plus the install and the calibration is $205,000. And then we'd like about $6,000 for in-house support. So our maintenance guys help install it. They may have to modify some conduits or, you know, put in some concrete anchors or those types of things. Schedule, it's a little tight. We're hoping we can fit it in before it rains this year. So if we get approval in July to purchase and get through our purchasing procedures, then the vendor claims they have it on the shelf, so they could come out in September and install it with us. But there's a chance if it rains early or if there's a delay in the procurement, we may get pushed to. We may buy now, but not install it till next summer. So with that, the recommendation is to issue the purchase order to buy the flow meters and then to authorize the additional $10,000 for the project budget. Take any questions.
Director Mesquera has a question.
Actually, I just have a comment. A great presentation, to the point. Love it. Loved all the pictures that go with it.
Director Mesquera, I'm sorry. Can you please speak into the microphone? I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am. I don't.
Much
I
better. My... Yeah. Thank you.
How about now?
Good.
Okay. So I just want to say great presentation. Loved it. I'm all supportive and I'll make a motion.
And I'll second.
I just have one other question. You said if we didn't, or if you couldn't get it in the rain season, we're going to be okay though, right? With our current system.
Yes. Our current one's limping along. Yeah. I hesitate because every time it goes out, we're like, is it going to come back? So far we've been able to, you know, creep and, yeah, you cycle the pile, you say a prayer, cycle the power. And it's become that.
Sounds reliable.
We have some math and some approximations. That's they true. Totally go out. We can tell how much is being bought. It's just not as accurate, and we don't want to go with that long term. So once we get new flow meters, it's very accurate. But in an emergency, if they go out, we use math, right? How much came in versus how much was diverted, take the difference. Assume that's how much bypassed around the dam. So there's other methods
and
too.
Prayer.
That was not all prayer.
Well, that's a lot more math and less accuracy. So yeah, like
that's pretty urgent. Is there any other way to fast track it any faster than this, or we're pretty much doing that by all this?
I think we're on the fastest track we can be right now.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Randy.
Yeah.
He's ignoring us.
Okay. So, and thank you for the presentation, and I appreciate the discussions from the directors. I have a question just in the schematic that you had a couple of slides ago. So I imagine after the installation, we have to do some kind of calibration.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I was just curious. I'm an engineer. Like, how does that work? Okay.
Yeah, so it does come partially calibrated, if you will, from the factory. And we won't, the water we have available in the summer, you know, is not a lot. So we will have to calibrate. Basically, we'll run the water through a known location, through the partial flume, and then run it through this new device, and then we can... If it's off, we can make an adjustment, and then the rest of the range of the flow should fall into.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the explanation. And I believe we have a motion to approve from Director Mesquera and seconded by Director Green. Just want to thank the staff for highlighting the significance of the Imperial head gate and our need to stay in compliance with SB 88. So with that, that's a roll call vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesquera?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Jung? Thank you. Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Green?
Yes.
And motion carries 5-0.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, and my computer, my browser crashed. What do we have next? Let me see. I think that was the end of the, that was the only item for, oh, it came back. Okay. So, yeah, thank you. We have one information item, item 14. That's the monthly cash disbursement report.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that information is in the packet and staff can answer any questions.
Okay, and anyone has any questions for item 14? Okay, if not, let's see here. I would recommend that we put everything on the consent for the consent calendar for the July 16th board meeting. Is that appropriate?
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you. Any director's announcements or reports? Okay, seeing, hearing none. Mr. General Managers, any announcements?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That brings us to adjournment. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. We are adjourned. Thank you.